Time to stand up. Time to push back. Time to let your voice be heard.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Friends, now is the time that we come together as God's people and make a fresh determination that we will make our voices heard by God's grace. That as God's children, as God's ambassadors, as his servants, that we will raise our voices and get his message out regardless of cost or consequence. Thanks for joining us today on The Line of Fire. This is Michael Brown. It's my delight to be with you. To weigh in, number to call 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Listen, I am not paranoid. I am not feeling like I'm the victim. Poor me, poor us, poor believers, poor conservative Christians. No. In Jesus, we are overcomers. In Jesus, we are more than conquerors. In Jesus, our message, because it's God's message, ultimately triumphs in the world. I feel bad for those who oppose the gospel. I feel bad for those who oppose religious liberty. I feel bad for those who are on the wrong side of God. People say, you don't want to be on the wrong side of history. Friend, I don't want to be on the wrong side of God. That's my issue. If God is for us, no one can be against us. The worst words that could possibly be spoken are the words, I'm against you, says the Lord, as he says sometimes in Scripture. I don't want to hear that. If he's for me because I'm in him and doing his will, that's all I need to know. Let all the armies of the world be aligned. Let all of the powers of the world, the governments of the world be aligned. Let all the people of the world be aligned against you, against me. If God is for us, I feel bad for them. At the same time, I realize that there is an increasing, ongoing assault on our freedoms of religion, speech, and conscience here in America. We've talked about some of the issues. For example, the bill being pushed forward in California that would make it illegal. We call it the Must Stay Gay Bill, and that name has taken root. The Must Stay Gay Bill, that if someone is struggling with unwanted same-sex attractions or struggling with gender confusion, it will be illegal for them to get professional counsel. It would be illegal for a church leader to tell someone, go to our bookstore and get this book by Michael Brown, Can You Be Gay and Christian? Or get this book by Robert Gagnon about the Bible and homosexual practice. Or get this book by Joe Dallas about desires and conflict, and you'll be helped. No, that would be illegal. It would be illegal for you to go to talk to a professional psychologist and say, I've been struggling with these unwanted same-sex attractions for years. Could you work with me? I'm talking about secular, totally secular. Of course, same would apply for religious. But in any type of professional way, paid transaction way, to say, hey, I need help. Could you help me get to the root of these issues and problems? That would be illegal. But it's not just that type of assault that we're facing. There really is an ongoing assault on conservative speech in America. And the social media giants, Google and YouTube and Facebook and Twitter, are actively involved in this. Listen, we first ran into it years ago when we put out my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, in 2011. Of course, there was widespread resistance to it. Publishers were afraid to touch it, even conservative publishers, despite the fact that no one said it wasn't well written, no one said it wasn't well researched, no one said it wasn't accurate, no one said it wasn't compassionate. Just too hot to handle. And since then, I had at least three publishers come to me and apologize for that, for not standing with us. And the book went out and had its impact and continues to have an impact by God's grace. But we found resistance on college campuses where Christian groups were afraid to bring me on to debate someone on the issue. And you know, if you heard me debate, I'll do it in a civil way, in a gracious way, in a way that's actually going to build bridges to those that we differ with. Christian groups saying, you try to bring that on our campus and we'll shut it down. Christian groups, yes. But it wasn't just there that we began to experience things, but on Facebook, We had a Facebook page devoted to A Queer Thing Happened to America, and it was devoted to discussions about the book, and people began to report it as hate speech and so on. And next thing, the page gets shut down, and those of us who are responsible for posting the page, we get warned, and we can't access Facebook for a number of days, etc. And providentially, someone heard me talking about this on the air, and they called in and said, hey, I was at National Religious Broadcasters meeting earlier this year. Remember, you and I met. I said, yes, I remember we met. He said, well, there was a gal there, gave a presentation, young lady gave a presentation about Facebook and so on, and said, if you ever have issues with religious freedom or censorship or any, whatever she said, her exact words, I wasn't there, but contact me. So this man emailed our radio staff. They gave me the email. I contacted her, and she went through the page, and she said, no, there's nothing hateful. It's okay to stay. And then it got shut down another time, and we got warned another time. And then she said, look, we put more protection around us. This shouldn't happen again. But we began to see this. We would have a meme that would go viral on our Facebook page. I mean, viral to the tune of millions of people getting reached by it, and God knows how many tens of thousands of shares. And someone would complain. It maybe be exposing radical Islam, and this one would complain, and that one would complain. And next thing, we get shut down, and we get warnings. There was one where we were exposing Hamas and its intent to kill Jews living in the land of Israel. And someone on Facebook misread the cartoon, and they said this was banned because it sanctions killing Jews. I said, no, it exposes Hamas for having that platform. They said, oh, sorry, our mistake. Well, we've had other friends of ours who've had their Facebook pages just shut down because they talked about the Bible and homosexual practice and quoted scripture. They were shut down for that. So Brent Bozell has an article, Left Taking Jihad Against Conservative Speech to Social Media Giants, Emergence of Greatest Censorship in History. You say, well, that's on Breitbart.com. Isn't that kind of extreme right wing? Well, let's look at what Brent Bozell had to say. And he is a respected media analyst. You'll often see him on the air. And remember, this is widespread. You've had conservative sports commentators like Kurt Schilling post something against transgender activism, post a picture of a clear man, a burly male dressed as a woman and saying, hey, I don't want this person in the ladies' room. He gets kicked off ESPN, whereas you have these outspoken radical leftists like Keith Olbermann and others that they can just go on saying what they're saying. There has been a steady pattern. We are not being paranoid. You're saying, well, you just said you're not paranoid, but now you're raising all this. I'm saying there's an issue, and we need to stand up to it. So Brent Bozell, Media Research Center founder and president Brent Bozell, discussed the MRC's report Censored, How Online Media Companies Are Suppressing Conservative Speech on Monday's Ingram Angle on the Fox News Channel. Bozell said, this is the emerging of the greatest censorship of free speech worldwide in the history of man. Now, let me explain this. The left is on a jihad against conservative thought. It's happening in academia, entertainment, business, religion, everywhere. Now they're going to the social media giants, he continued. These social media giants have audiences in the billions. And what we've shown in this massive report is whether it's Facebook or Twitter or Google or YouTube, they're all employing different tactics to go against conservatives. You might say, wow, jihad? All right, he's using a word that's often used against us, but he's talking about this new crusade, this new holy war of sorts from the radical left. And because these social media giants are now so incredibly powerful, because they can shut you down, so much of what we do relies on the internet, and you can be shut down or you can be squeezed, and they have so much power that it really is an all-out frontal assault that needs to be confronted. And if we don't confront it, it's our own fault. A lot of people say, well, how does this concern me? Isn't that a selfish question? Is that the way we're supposed to live as followers of Jesus? How does this concern me? Shouldn't we say, Lord, what pleases you, and how can I most effectively be your witness? And ultimately, you have to understand, this is not just a crackdown against certain conservatives or right-wing news or alt-right extremist groups. This is ultimately a crackdown against freedom of religion. People say, well, you have freedom of religion. You don't have freedom of consequences. Well, if believing what you believe with your constitutional rights to believe it, and believing what you believe, which reflects the foundations of American jurisprudence and philosophy, if believing what you believe is now penalized in some sort, then it really is limited freedom of religion. Now, let me give you an example, all right? Here's a report on Vice. White nationalist Richard Spencer's pages just got kicked off Facebook. All right, so Richard Spencer, not to be confused with Robert Spencer of Jihad Watch, but Richard Spencer, known for his leadership in the so-called alt-right, I reject his views. I reject his stances. He has been accused of anti-Semitism and racism. I reject the alt-right. I reject what Richard Spencer puts out. I haven't read all of it or seen all of it, but I reject many, let's just say things that he has identified with, I reject. And I would not agree with his ideology and philosophy. And the Facebook pages in question, which are associated with him, they weren't big. I think one had maybe 4,000 followers or something like that. They weren't big. But I would reject what they were putting out. The question is, should they be shut down on Facebook? The question is, should they be removed from Facebook? You say, well, yeah, but you don't agree with them. That's the question. Where do we draw the line? That's the question. At what point do we say, well, hang on. What you're doing to them, you're going to do to me tomorrow. In this case, we're talking about what constitutes genuine hate speech in a threatening way. What constitutes genuine hate speech in a way that is calling for violence against others? When Mark Zuckerberg, Facebook CEO, testified before Congress, I think we all agreed. Yes, if someone is calling for violence against another group, then absolutely you shut that down. That's one thing. But so-called hate speech, when you just say, well, the Bible says thus and such, and I agree with it, that is considered hate speech in many circles. So as much as I do not agree with Richard Spencer, as much as I do not agree with the alt-right, it concerns me because you wonder who's going to be shut down next. And when Facebook and YouTube rely on radical leftist ideology and work actively with radical leftist groups, what can we expect? Well, I've got some practical ideas. Stay with me. I'm just getting going.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, friends, welcome to the broadcast. Thanks for tuning in around America and around the world. Hey, do you have our apps for your iPhone and for your Android phone? For your iPhone, get the Line of Fire, the Line of Fire with Dr. Brown. And so you search for it, The Line of Fire with Dr. Brown. Get the app. You'll enjoy it. It will put you in instant connection with all of our radio archives, video archives, article archives, website, and more. Give you the ability to call in from anywhere in the world. Give you the ability to listen live just with, boom, one little click there. Yeah, kaboom. I didn't mean to say kaboom. Boom. And then the Android app, Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown on Android. Just download that app, and you can actually watch our show live right from your app, as well as listen live and then connect to all of our archives. So download those so we can connect anywhere in the country, anywhere in the world. These are super user-friendly apps. I can't tell you how excited I was to see them when they were out and to play with them on my phone. I've got a Samsung, an Android phone, others with their iPhones. And trust me, you'll enjoy the app. Super, super convenient. Let me go back to that article on Vice, talking about the removing of pages that they said were related to alt-right leader Richard Spencer. According to Mark Zuckerberg, when he testified before Congress, he said his company, quote, does not allow hate groups. He says, so if there's a group that their primary purpose or a large part of what they do is spreading hate, we will ban them from the platform overall. You say, three cheers. Good for them. Good for them. I'm glad they did that. Well, hang on. Do you know what that means? If you have a website about what the Bible says about homosexuality, all right, you'll be called a hate speech group or a hate speech page. That will be deemed hateful. It has happened to friends of mine. They've sent me the screenshots of what they posted and got them banned. The Bible says this. Or let's say you had a site, health risks of cigarette smoking. You have that up there. Health risks of obesity. Have that up there. No problem. Health risks of texting and driving. Have that up there. Statistics, anecdotes, things like that. Health risks of homosexual practice. You'll be banned. Even though you could document everything medically, etc., you'll be banned. That is, quote, hate towards a group. Here, what if you have a page helping those with gender identity confusion? Well, the very name, gender identity confusion. You're indicting people. You're speaking against people. You're castigating them. You're hurting them. Look, I'm not exaggerating this. I'm not making this up. Again, I have solutions. I have ways that we can push back. But I'll give you another example. This comes from LifeSite News. Check this out, all right? Judge lectures assault victim to use attacker's fake pronouns. So this is from England, April 16th, right? So that's yesterday. An English judge told an assault victim to use her attacker's preferred gender pronoun, the latest development in the ongoing collision between feminist and transgender activists. Maria McLachlan, 61, is a self-described trans-exclusionary radical feminist. TERF. What does that mean? I don't know. Part of a faction, well, it's going to be defined, that believes men who identify as females should not be recognized as women. The UK Telegraph reports that she was among the speakers for a TERF event in London's Hyde Park last September. The event was meant to discuss potential changes to the UK's 2004 Gender Recognition Act. McLachlan says that while filming a group of counter-protesters chanting, "When TERFs attack, we strike back," 26-year-old trans activist Tara Wolf punched her, knocking her to the ground. So this is a group saying we're feminists and we don't believe that a man who identifies as a woman should be recognized as a woman. So they were making these statements, and there are an increasing number of feminists actually making these statements, just saying if you're a man who identifies as a woman, you don't know what it's like to be a woman, you haven't lived as a woman, you shouldn't participate in our women's events or be named Woman of the Year or whatever. All right. And there's obviously tremendous pushback. So someone, according to this report, 26 years old, a man who identifies as Tara, as a woman, punches her, attacks her. So now she's being told in court. All right. She's being told in court that you have to refer to your attacker as a woman. The man wants to be identified as a woman. You need to refer to him as a woman. This is the judge saying this. The defendant wished to be referred to as a woman, so perhaps you could refer to her as she for the purpose of the proceedings. McLachlan responded to the judge, "I'm used to thinking of this person who is a male as male." Now, you say, well, the judge is just making this request. This is outrageous. You are now being told by a judge how you should speak in court about someone. Now, bear in mind, you're not identifying a black person using the N-word. You're not identifying a Jew and using some anti-Semitic insult. You're not doing that. Instead, you are simply saying, well, that is a man, so I'm referring to him as he. I don't believe I should be complicit with their idea that they're female. And there's a whole bill, I won't get into it now, but a bill in Canada that's passed, that's law, that basically is enforcing speech on people, that you must use certain terms. You must say certain things. So if Bruce Jenner wants to be known as she and I don't call him she, her, then I could be penalized for it. I could be fined for it. It's already law in New York City and other places. Now look, you say, but should that really, So that really concerned me. So, I mean, official defamatory language, right? So to say that you are being deceptive or fooling or pretending or posing, or it's a trap, or you're masquerading, that would be defamatory language. So I try not to use certain of those words because I believe people are sincerely confused, but I'm sure saying they're confused is defamatory language. Defamatory, tranny, shemale, he, she, it, shim. Well, I've sometimes said he or she because I don't know exactly how to characterize the person. I believe it's he. The person says she. Some say both. What about the person, the man who identifies as a female dragon? I've said he, she, it. Well, that would be defamatory. Or refer to, quote, the bathroom bill. This, by trans activists, is considered defamatory. When we're saying a man who identifies as a woman should not have access to the ladies' room, we call it the bathroom bill. That's defamatory. That's an accurate description. You say, well, why should I be concerned? Look, it reminds me of the famous Martin Niemöller poem. First they came for the socialist, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me. I paraphrase that in light of some attack that came against InfoWars. And, let's just see if I can get to the end of it here of my article. Yeah, here we go. First they came for InfoWars, and I did not speak out because I found them offensive. Then they came for Geller and Spencer, meaning Pamela Geller and Robert Spencer, and I did not speak out because I found them obnoxious. Then they came for PragerU, and I did not speak out because I found them opinionated. Then they came for a host of others, and I did not speak out because I have my own life to live. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me. Friends, that's where we are today. So as much as I do not agree with things that Alex Jones at InfoWars might say, if he's going to be shut down, that's going to raise concerns for me. I absolutely don't agree with Richard Spencer and views of the alt-right. Absolutely reject them. But if they're getting shut down, that concerns me. You say, what do we do? Okay, number one, take advantage of the liberties we have. I'm on radio right now and nobody's shutting me down. There's a liberal gentleman that listens to the show regularly every time. Every so often I'll see his comments. He's listened for years and respectfully disagrees with me all the time. So every so often I'll see his comments and he'll say, Dr. Brown, what are you talking about? No one's coming against you. You have the freedom. You can do this show. Well, trust me, we get shut down on YouTube all the time. We had over 900 videos demonetized in one shot. And every week we get different ones get questioned and have to be reviewed and so on. Just had the word Syria on one the other day. Instantly. They're going to review it, and they say it doesn't look suitable. I mentioned the Holocaust. Why do we still need to remember? Instantly, it gets flagged. So I'm dealing with that all the time. There's stuff I'm putting out that doesn't see the light of day, all right, or that gets censored from many others seeing it. And there are parts of the world, right, I can't mention certain things. If I'm going to go there, I can't mention certain things. But in America, there is increasing restriction on us. But, yeah, I do have this freedom, so I'm using it. So let me encourage you, use the freedoms you have and get out the most important message of all, is that salvation comes through Jesus alone. That there's one God who made us, we've sinned against him, we're guilty in his sight. Get out the most important message of all. Let's be witnesses, radiant, shining witnesses, okay? You know, if you don't use it, you lose it. And that's how it is with our liberties. Let's preach the gospel first and foremost, loudly and clearly. And then let us get our message out, the convictions we have, every way we know how. If we all do it, if we all speak out, I don't think Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Google, I don't think they're going to shut us all down at the same time. I don't think they have the ability to or the desire to lose that much business because ultimately it's going to force a mass exodus and other platforms will be raised up that will not be discriminatory. And these other platforms will allow people on the left to espouse ideas that we find distasteful, but they'll be within the bounds of constitutionally protected free speech. So use the liberties you have. Get your message out. Get your opinion out. You like an article of mine, share it. Post it. Encourage others to read it. Watch a video. Let's do what we can. Friends, we haven't been silenced yet. Let's speak up while we can.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to The Line of Fire. This is Michael Brown. Thanks so much for joining us. Earlier today, I did a podcast with some folks who have written about the so-called NAR, New Apostolic Reformation. And we had a very helpful moderator raising fair questions, and we each got to present different views. And a subject we didn't get to talk about in the midst of airing our differences was the subject of the kingdom of God and the meaning of the kingdom of God and why Jesus taught us to pray, "Thy kingdom come." And it's an obvious question to ask. What's the significance for us as believers today? What does it mean to pray, "Lord, your kingdom come"? Are we expecting to take over the world and establish a theocracy, establish God's kingdom on the earth where we rule and reign with Jesus over the earth? Is that our goal? Are we looking for religious leaders to get into office to then enforce the Bible on the nation? Now, if that's what you're waiting for, I'm not with you on that. Absolutely not with you. Anything that smells of a theocracy in any way, shape, size, or form, I reject until Jesus comes and establishes his kingdom on the earth. And when he does, then he will rule and reign as king. But what does it mean for us to pray today, "Lord, your kingdom come"? Are we simply praying for Jesus to return? Or are we praying for the ongoing manifestation of his kingdom, as some New Testament scholars would say in their commentaries on Matthew's gospel and Luke's gospel, the ongoing manifestation of the kingdom until Jesus sets up his kingdom on the earth? Is the kingdom here now and advancing? So it's always my joy to speak with my friend and colleague, James Robison. And James recently has begun to share with some folks about the kingdom of God. We thought it'd be great to talk about this today. James, hope you're doing well. Welcome, sir, to the broadcast.
Thank you, Michael. It's good to talk to you. And I must say we've just experienced with business leaders in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, South Lake, Colleyville, where Gateway Church happens to be located. But these are just businessmen. And God has just filled the studio, as we're sharing, and he has filled to overflowing those who are attending. It's just wonderful to be in the presence of God and know that you've been caught up into the manifest presence and power of kingdom reality that Jesus talked so freely and fully about.
All right. Jesus spoke constantly about the kingdom of God. We tend to speak seldom of it. In Acts 20, Paul connects the gospel of grace with the gospel of the kingdom. They're not two separate messages. But what do you mean by kingdom realities?
Let's just take this, and everybody just kind of buckle up, you might say, and just sit tight a minute. Jesus corrected the disciples concerning praying as not a religious traditional ritual, not something you did to be seen of men. But he said, you can actually pray in this manner. Our Father which art in heaven. I won't stay there long. I stayed there a while last night. It was his Father, the only Son, talking to the Father, the only begotten. The one who prayed in the Lord's Prayer, John 17, that we would have the relationship with that Father, his Father, that he enjoyed with it. Same relationship. So when he said, our Father in heaven, he was actually saying something we really need to grasp. Jesus, who says, I only do what I see the Father do, if you've seen me, you've seen him. We are, in fact, one, and yet two separate beings. And I will send another like me to live in you. But you need to understand this Father of mine, you address as our Father. My Father is your Father. And he's holy. And Isaiah and others could rightly fall, woe is me, but I want you to learn something new. In kingdom reality, you can come boldly to the throne of grace because it is, in fact, a grace throne because of the grace gift, really, you're listening to. But then he said this, and this is key. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, everybody needs to grasp this. There's only one way for the Father, who we now address as our Father, for his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. One way only, and you just ask for that. Thy kingdom come. God's will never be done on earth without the reality of his kingdom present, which Jesus announced it's at hand. He clarified it's actually in you. And then he made it very, very clear that it's not of this world, but it is beyond the world, it is over the world, and it impacts the world with the power and presence of my presence in your midst in kingdom reality. The king is here. You can sing the king is coming all you want to, but you need to pause a moment and begin to reflect on the fact the king has come. Mm. He's here. And if you want his will to be done, you let the king that is in our heart reigning, you let him rule. Not only your life, your marriage, your family, your household, your community, but to the ends of the earth. And it's not with a rod of iron. It's not with boasting in our numerous warriors or our voting bloc. It's being carried by the Spirit that is now in you, of the resurrected Christ and the reality of that kingdom. And when people see this great Father in a personal way, not religious rhetoric and tradition that is repulsive to most people who see it, and many, if not most, who are in it, and always to God, they see something that's beyond that. This is relationship. And we find that we're actually being carried. Last night, one of the most dynamic businessmen in this community, the great, let's say, success community of South Lake and Colleyville and the Mid-Cities area, people who've been blessed, and yet he's so full of God that he captivated the group, as many of the men and women sitting in front of me have captured people. Listen to what he said last night. And I mean, it was electric when he began to talk. And he said, one of the things I'd like for all of you to understand and grasp is, it's not a matter of you inviting Jesus into your life. Jesus has invited you into his life. Mm. He's invited all of us to experience the fullness that only he offers, and we can live in the fullness, presence, manifest power of his life. And Dr. Brown, Michael, I have been carried in that amazing journey. For now going on 60 years of public ministry, and I'm telling you, it's just amazing. I live amazed. As I was with these people last night, the glory of God so filled that place. And by the way, we're preparing what we're sharing, Michael, to stream, to put online in little snippets and pieces, but then ultimately be streaming, like last night, the entire 1.5 hour of presence of God reality, where everybody can watch it all over the world. And then this, today, by my leadership team said, we really need to prayerfully consider streaming it live. We're meeting on Monday nights right now in the Life Today studio, and we're there for an hour and a half starting at 6:30. So that's the message.
All right, so in years past, when God thrust you into ministry, you were a powerful evangelist. You continue to function in that way, leading many people to Jesus. And then over the years, God expanded what you were doing, added different nuances to it, as I've been down in your studios and then walk through the offices. There are all these pictures of you overseas in poor countries in Africa and other parts of the world, and you're drilling wells, and you're feeding the poor, and you're helping educate people, and always in the context of the love of God. But when you look at that, that to me is an extension of the kingdom of God.
Absolutely.
This is the kingdom of God in action. So now I'm a businessman in America. It's easier for me to think in terms of extending the kingdom of God to a poor nation in Africa in these practical ways. But what does it mean for these businessmen? What's happening to them? Because it's obviously not a matter of, oh, I can build my own kingdom and get mega rich so I can have the biggest house in the community and show what Jesus did for me. They're not thinking like that at all. And yet they're making money. they're giving lots of money. What does it mean for these business guys when they grab hold of a kingdom vision?
Well, the truth is the kingdom's grabbed a hold of them.
Yes,
and here's
yes.
what I want everyone to hear right now. I don't know how many minutes we've got. I'm going to try to do this briefly, and I'm going to try to be sure people can hear me because sometimes I've been told I'm not talking loud enough. These men, as the whole church must understand, are to be caught up into the presence of the king, and the government is on his shoulders, and we're his body. The idea of handing off the political future of the nation, the decisions of the nation, justice for the nation, all of the regulations for the nation, all the laws of the nation, as though the king, not Caesar, another king than Caesar. There's not another power. There's the king, period. And we literally present in relationship with the love that fills us to overflowing in behalf of all the people the Father loves. And he wants to love through the family, through us. And allow people to see, look, you have a poverty need. You have a marital need. You have a job need, an employment need. You've got attitude, working relationships needs. Jesus, the King, can solve every issue and challenge you face. He will lift you out of the despair, out of the ditch, out of the defeat, and let you walk in a yoke with him, and it's light because he's got the load. We want to invite you to sit in the room with this master shepherd, with this leader, with this king, and he's going to show you how to deal with the challenges in your community, in your nation. The immigration challenge, the racial challenge, the regulations challenge, the right laws challenge, every issue. Listen to me, Michael. If the church, the tens of millions of people who claim to know the Father, would allow him to lift them into kingdom reality and let him rule every moment of their life and be so overflowing with love that you even love all the people that are missing at 100 miles and you love them so much that all of a sudden they sense the presence of this peace that passes understanding, this glory that fills them with a hope that's unshakable, and you say, guess what? He knows the way out of this darkness. He knows the way out of that ditch. He knows the way out of that debt. He knows how you deal with that poverty situation. He knows how you address that drug challenge. I am waiting to show you how. Mm. Now, believe it or not, that's why we're here. We are here for God to reveal to us and through us his will in heaven in order that it might be done on earth, not wishful thinking.
Amen. Just got to jump in. If you can stay another minute, that would be awesome.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us, friends. The Kingdom of God. Paul writes in Romans 14, 17, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy. And the Holy Spirit, Jesus says in Matthew 6, 33, seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. James, are you still there?
Yes, sir.
Awesome. Thanks for staying on. All right. Here's a single mom. She's struggling. Her teenage kids are coming into a season of rebellion. She hears you talking about the kingdom of God and all these glorious things, and somehow these business guys are catching on. All right, we get included in Jesus' vision, and we get included in the advancement of this kingdom of love. What does it mean to the single mom with rebellious kids? How do people take hold of this concept, which literally is life-transforming?
You talk to God about exposing those you love to the atmosphere of the kingdom reality. That's precisely what happened to the mother of the woman, to the son of the woman who was raped by the alcoholic man who raped her, my father, who got her pregnant at 40. She gave birth to me. I didn't have a stable home life. People prayed for me that knew me. God heard those prayers. I had a head-on encounter with Jesus, and, Doc, I lost my life in his kingdom purpose. And it started in my life as a teenager, called to preach at 18, 74 now, never stopped witnessing. Look, there's not a critical, a hate-filled, a self-centered person. There's not a druggie. There's not an alcohol-tormented person. there's not a person that is liberal in their mindset or ultra-conservative that would not look at our family and my marriage to my wife, Betty, that sits by me, and see the glory in the lives of our children and our grandchildren and four great-grandchildren, and see what's on our family and not wish it could be for everybody. And it has nothing to do with stuff. It has to do with what stuff can't ever give you. It has to do with the presence of a living Lord and Savior in all of our lives that enable us to love Him, love one another, love our enemies, and reach out in love to lift people out of whatever area of need they're in. That is kingdom reality. So if you behold the glory of the Lamb, you behold the kingdom of God right here manifest in front of you. No one in that studio, everyone sitting there was electrified last night. I had cameras say, just look at the glory on that face. Look at the glory on that face. The cameras didn't know what face to stop on. There was glory on every face in that room. Unbelievable. The power of forgiveness, the power of compassion, the power of being involved in somebody else's need, being an answer to someone's prayer and heart cry, it was electrifying. This is to be the life of the church. You will not find it in religion, period. Put any name on it you want to put on it. You find it in the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who says, lose your life in my kingdom. You lose it for my sake, and you'll find it. You try to save it, keep it, take care of it, you lose it. You won't find it in this world. I'm telling you, Doc, it's so exciting what I'm watching right now. You know what's happening? Sincere, serious prayers are about to watch their prayers get answered. I got better news for you. We're about to see Jesus' prayers answered. Mm-hmm. We're about to see the smile on the face of the Father, so that when we pray and we seek His face, turning from our wicked ways, we seek His face because it's one that's pleased with what He's watching. He sees the reality of His kingdom prevailing on this earth for His glory. Mm-hmm. I am more excited than I have ever been in my life.
Yeah, well, it's clear as I've gotten to know you so these last few years that you have been freshly plugged in to a truth and a reality. You know, I was traveling over in California over the weekend, and the folks picking me up from the airport were talking about food because they know I eat this super healthy diet, and talking about what I used to be and what I am now. And the lady said, you know, your skin is glowing. I can tell how healthy you are because your skin is glowing. They just meant it physically, not spiritually. But you're talking spiritually, that it's not a matter of a pep talk and just feel good about yourself. It's a matter of taking hold of realities that we're God's children, that He is the King who rules and reigns, that His Spirit is given to each of us. And therefore, instead of having the victim, woe is me, everything is terrible mentality, we are a part of God's worldwide move under King Jesus. And everything we need is found in Him. And it does change everything when you have that perspective. So, James, just take one more minute.
See,
why
God,
is
you,
it? Go ahead.
You've
go ahead.
Been caught up in that glory. I'm watching you be caught up more and more in kingdom reality. I'm watching it with my own eyes. Let me just say, it's beautiful to behold. What you did to lose a tremendous amount of weight and then to live disciplined, for your information, you were sowing seeds. I have known my body's the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in me. But we destroy our temple too often. Like Billy Graham said, we do have gluttonous appetites. We do allow the things that are good and tasty to possess us and control us, and I've known that. But God inspired me, even some of the things Jay Richards wrote on the stream,
yeah,
and others, friends of ours that we've even had on Life Today. Betty and I have been for about 5 or 6 weeks on the keto eating program. It is totally revolutionary. It's unbelievable. We've got friends right now, they don't even feel arthritis pain anymore. I've got one right here in my home right now that went through stage 4 cancer, 10 years in the battle. And arthritis, listen, she just can't get over how good she feels. Betty and I both, without trying to lose weight, we don't talk about a diet. We talk about a new way to eat. We both lost 12 pounds. And that wasn't our goal. Our goal was to take her to the temple of God, the same thing you've got. My point is simply this. All of these things that control us, there are many times great natural appetites. I say to everyone with an unnatural appetite or desire, the natural appetites are more powerful and more difficult to deal with than the unnatural because they were given to us by God.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
we can lay it back on Him. But listen to me. We can overcome those appetites. This is kingdom reality right now. when we allow the king to rule and reign and get in the yoke with him, I'm listening to me. Here's what I believe. The church is about to arise and shine with the glory of the Lord on them. I'm listening. The whole church can come together. The tens of millions of people quit just professing Christ. Here's what that man said. I want to repeat what that layman said. You're not inviting Christ into your life. That's not merely what you do. He's inviting you into his life. Move into that reality and let the power of his Spirit carry us where we can't help but speak the things we've seen and heard, because we beheld the glory of the Lamb and we're caught up in that glory right now. Glory on us now. Lord, grant it on the church.
Yes, Lord.
The whole church is my
yes.
prayer. It's Jesus' prayer.
Amen. In Jesus' name, I agree with you, my brother. And friends, with all the chaos around us and the darkness around us, our focus should be on God's light. By the way, James, I'm just looking at the stream, stream.org. I wrote an article, it's exclusively on the stream, The Beauty and Importance of Sabbath Rest. I don't write on that often. It's there on the stream. And Al Parada, one of our colleagues, has a couple of great articles about James Comey and his book and what to make of that. So if you haven't visited the stream today, make sure you go there, check on a daily basis. It'll give you a kingdom perspective on what's happening in the world around us. That's stream.org. And James, I'm going to stay as closely plugged into you as I can, because you are walking in something very powerful. I wanted to rub off on me as well.
When you go to the stream, look at John Zmirik, Z-M-I-K. Look at his article. He was one of those glowing faces sitting in front of me. Grew up as a Catholic, sitting out there in the glory of the Lord. He can hardly walk. He's caught up in such the presence of the Lord. Read what he said to the Pope today. Read what he said in love to correct what the Pope said. That was 100% not what God says, not what the Bible says. And he didn't say it unkindly. He said it graciously. But, sir, you are a church leader. Just like you say, sirs, you are church leaders, you're shepherds, but you're behaving more like hirelings than shepherds. You've got to feed the sheep, not fleece or use the sheep. We've got to move. You say that, Doc. Michael Brown, you say it in love. Read what John Zmirik, who sat in front of me glowing last night, radiant like a light in the presence of God. Read what he wrote and how he addressed their church leader. Read it.
Got it. So, friends, that's at stream.org. I already retweeted that to my followers on Twitter as well. Hey, my friend, I'm out of time here, but awesome to partner together with you as we join with Jesus for the advancement of his kingdom. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
All right. God bless. Boy, that was a jolt of light and faith and love. You know, people often thank me for encouraging them. I saw a note that someone sent the other day, and a woman said she's got several children, I think ranging in age from like 5 to 16, and my broadcast, The Line of Fire, they gave her hope for the future of her children because things look so dire, and yet we're saying don't throw in the towel. I truly believe that America could be rocked by another great awakening. Oh, there'll be all kinds of shaking with it. And trust me, the fire will be hotter than we might imagine. And the refiner's fire comes first on us, comes on leaders, comes on the body before it touches the world. So, yeah, be prepared for a lot of shaking in our own midst. Friends, I believe that the best for America could still be ahead. You say, how could that be? Only God. Only God. This much I know. Around the world, we're living in the greatest harvest of all time. We should be rejoicing. God is moving. Let's focus on what he does. And then from that reality, look at the messed up world around us and figure out how we can make a difference. Hey, friends, I just want to share a need with you. Don't do this often, but we have some genuine financial needs. We are constantly trying to serve, give away, minister in places that don't bring in funds, where we are giving and blessing and helping. But we just hit a wall this month. If you could stand with us, that would be a tremendous blessing. Just go to Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. Click on donate. Your one-time gift of any size makes a big difference. Thanks, and God bless.
If I hear my